Perfect timing. Wanted to wait on you, so thank you for making on time. What kind of program you went to this morning?
It's a youth program that's having a women's, we'll talk later.
Well, listen, we don't record it, but anytime you got to take care of youth, they always come first, you know that. Ma'am.
All right, well, I want to say, first of all, thank you all so much for waiting on me and Lori and Kelly so much. Today really is just a follow-up with our meeting a couple weeks ago regarding the La Villa community. And I wanted to see and hear what DIA, after you heard from the community, I think we had a little over 80 or 90 people there at that meeting. A lot were concerned about La Villa not being preserved, the African American specifically, and how it is being developed. And so from my aspect, I don't know what our councilman wanted to make sure that we be intentional about preserving the African American experience. And a lot of the infill that's there, being able to have markers there, being able to let the community know that there was a community there. And I know there's new La Villa, old La Villa, but I think it's worth saving, and I think it's worth acknowledging. And if we have to jump through some hoops to make it happen, I'm willing to do that. From an aspect of what I know the history of Jacksonville of being. And so I'm excited that we did do a survey as well. So just coming back and kind of discussing those recommendations and how we can include new recommendations. Okay.
Let me, first of all, thank you for, again, noticing this meeting. And Ms. Borah, thank you for coming. Some of the feedback that I got from the last meeting is almost similar to what Ms. Pippen said. I do know that this community want to take ownership and leadership and coming up with their own structure, own guideline, making sure that we can reserve the old La Villa, but at the same time, they feel like we, the city, need to be able to give them the resources to do just that. And so my ask from you is, how do we do that? Do we start some kind of La Villa committee that represents all the not-for-profit / small businesses out there to come up with their own type brand, or what kind of resources may be for them to do just what they wanting to do? You talked about housing, making sure that if they've been asking me, do the city have any money in for housing, to make sure that they can capture some of the footage of what they had years ago. And I told them I didn't know, so we were going to be having those discussions. But I think with your guidance, what can help us probably going through this new, perhaps, budget that we're getting ready to take, maybe we, if DIA don't have the resource, maybe we can ask, with your help, ask our colleagues in the administration, maybe we need to set some dollars aside, but more than that, focus on a different boundary so we can identify what that looks like most of the communities in the city. And so that's what I've been asked by several people who was at the last meeting, and for me to relay that to you and to Ms. Pittman so we can at least move forward.
And I think for me, the same thing, you know, they have brought up different communities that's similar to La Villa, like Bronzeville in Chicago and Sweet Harbor, that, you know, if we can have dedicated funding to preserve the history. And then that also opens up for, national registry, historical kind of things and dollars. I think over the years, the organizations have been working in silos, and it's more to La Villa than the five or six organizations. But if we had like a historical district that is approved by the National Registry, as well as a support from the city of Jacksonville, I think we can reach our goal. Everybody wins in this, especially from an economic standpoint. And just, you know, Black businesses knowing how to navigate the system, not just the city, but state and federal as well. And so if we all do it together, and we know we have the support of the DIA in our efforts, you know, I think it will be an asset to us all. So that's kind of my spiel this morning. I feel like we're saying the same thing.
We are. But before you respond, or have you gotten a chance yet to talk to the administration about this Build It Back Better, that infrastructure money that may be coming? It may be tomorrow, maybe 6 months from now. I've been told from Washington that it may be some historic money in there. And we believe it is. We've been told that. And so it's good now for us to have this discussion, so you'll know the needs once it gets to Jacksonville, that we want La Villa to be at the front of the table, not at the end. Have you gotten the brief on that yet, or what do you know?
Through the chair to Councilman Gaffney, I have not been had any conversation with the administration on that resource, nor when they think the timing is, nor what they're going to plan to recommend to use it for. To the extent that it includes infrastructure, you know, that kind of is a broad term, and it's not clear how much at the moment, that I'm not aware, how much you can use that for cultural things as opposed to using it for pure infrastructure. But as I mentioned last time, we did have a meeting between last meeting and now on Beaver Street with the transportation planning section and FDOT, and we're completely supportive of that. They also have a discussion on, they're doing a study on a potential two-waying or road diet on Monroe, where it comes off the interstate going down, because they've had a lot of crashes there. So those might be eligible for transportation funding under Build Back Better, and would be completely supportive of both of those. We're also looking at the implementation of the La Villa Heritage Trail, which is more cultural, but if, for example, there were sidewalk improvements that we needed to make to enhance the trail all along, that very well might qualify. So we're trying to figure out the parameters of what are going to be the restrictions on that funding, and what projects do we have that we can suggest that will fit within that, and then have them far enough advanced that we have definitive asks. We have budgets, and we say this is what we want. So that's what we're doing with that piece of legislation. But no, to answer your question, I've not had a discussion with the administration or been briefed on what they expect to receive and how we could use it.
Well, I think, you know, since we're having this conversation now, if we could coordinate all resources that we are aware of, and after we look at the total budget that we think that is necessary, I think that's going to be the main thing, addressing what the budget is, and maybe develop it in phases as well, because we may not be able to do everything at one time. We can do the low-hanging fruit that we can do now, you know, like the parking lot. And then those that are large ticket items, looking at preservation, we can look at those costs. You know, I even think about the mobility opportunities that we have. So if we can put all of those dollars together, you know, with the historical lights throughout the whole La Villa district, I think there's a feel. And, you know, growing up and remembering what La Villa was like, I'd like to have that feel again, and have people come to La Villa And so, you know, now just knowing what your strategic implementation plans are and what can be changed to implement what we just talked about recently.
So I have, I brought a couple things to share on the Heritage Trail and some progress on that and the district, if you want me to do that.
Yes, if you don't mind passing those out, those who may want it.
And I have it on a thumb drive, if you want me
yes,
to.
Yes, ma'am.
You want us to do that?
You can, but I want to make sure they have something in their hand.
We can just hand out a few copies.
Yeah, for those who want it, put it, yes.
So it's, So I'm going to start, but I wanted to just show you just a couple images. Oh, good. It's working. So we'll be there in just a second. Do you have to go to other user?
Yeah, this is the part of the school system plan on the bipartisan infrastructure.
Well, Lori, until she gets that set up, you want to go ahead and
sure.
start?
Sure. So what I did first was I took a look at the strategy that talked about four gateways. And the four gateways that the strategy talked about, actually it talked about three, and I added a fourth. So the gateways that it discussed were the intersection of Broad and Bay, the intersection of Bay and Lee Street, which is where the overpass is coming over by the convention center, the intersection of State and Davis, which is Ritz Theater, which is where the Pocket Park is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I added the intersection of Broad and Beaver because of Clara White and Stanton.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going to do that infrastructure improvement on
Broad and Beaver.
On Beaver Street anyway, then I think that's a perfect, the other end of Broad Street becomes
mm-hmm.
the other gateway. And so what I looked at was just using Google Street View, what did we already have there, and what did those look like?
Mm-hmm.
So the first one I have the picture of here is Broad and Bay Street. And to me, the current JTA Skyway overpass is perfect structure for a gateway. And so if you think about the art that wraps the columns outside you see here, and then you think, what type of La Villa graphics would be appropriate? What would we want it to say? Would we actually want it to say, welcome to La Villa, or would we simply want it to have representative graphics? And then later on, I'm going to show you some that the JRTC has used to start thinking about. So my thought would be, with your blessing, to approach JTA about this one and the next one. But before you move on to that, I want you also to look at the corner of Broad and Bay at grade, which is the next page. So that is where Daly's, so if you flip and you're looking at the top on the backside. Okay, so that's street level, same intersection.
Mm-hmm.
And that particular site is where Daly's Place has acquired the block and has plans for redevelopment. So I also think we could talk to them about getting some kind of a monument marker on the corner. And obviously I would like, whether it is this committee you put together, the Ritz Theater, the Ritz advised on some of these other graphics you're going to see later, but to get a local group to advise on what they would want it to look like. What would the content be? You know, what would you want as a storyboard, or is this just a marker? Then the second one is Lee Street at Bay. And this is another, you're coming right down on Lee Street, and you've got another overpass in two columns. Mm-hmm. So, again, I think it's a perfect opportunity. But I also think perhaps in one or both of these, this would be an opportunity to do the thermoplastic crosswalks as well. So you do the decorative crosswalks on the sides entering La Villa as opposed to the sides entering City Center, so you would kind of understand where that you're on the corner of that.
Right.
The next one is an illustration of the intersection of Broad and Beaver. And so that is showing how I think on those two corners, whether you simply do a crosswalk, whether you do markers, whatever you did there, I think that's another perfect gateway. And then finally, the Ritz Theater Gateway Park. So this is the pocket park where the Augusta Savage sculpture is going that others have already been working on. So I think that one's taken care of. But to me, the other three are, to your point, low-hanging fruit that are pretty easy to execute. And my hope on those is, so we have a finance and budget committee of our board coming up Thursday of this week. We are planning to, we've already got $250,000 in the restoration of the two shotgun houses, and so we're adding additional funds to complete that project this year. So those
are they going to stay where they are? Are we moving one? And what?
Right now, we are just doing them where they are, and the
worry about it, Mercedes.
It's not coming up.
Okay, no, don't worry. Yeah.
Okay, so the intention of our funds is to restore the exterior, restore the roof, make them structurally sound. We're not doing anything with the interior. They are more portable when we're finished than they are right now because they'll be structurally sound. So we are not determining definitively whether they stay where they are or whether they move. As you know, the Walter Hood plan suggested they moved on to Ashley. We know that the Parks Department is taking the one that's on the corner right now, and it's going to go to Lift Every Voice and Sing Park. So we just want to make sure the other two are, the exterior is restored, the roof is sound, the floors are sound, the foundation, so that they survive, and then we can decide how.
And could be repurposed.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Could be repurposed. So that funding is happening Thursday. We're finishing that. But here's the important part. We have savings from the settlement of the MPS litigation, and we are suggesting the appropriation of about $700,000 or $800,000 toward implementation of the La Villa Heritage Gateways and Trail to start that.
Okay.
And then that would be also in our budget recommendation for next year. So from your standpoint, I don't think you have to worry about trying to locate other funds for that because I think we have funds that we can devote to that. And so the next pages in this presentation that I had were just copies of murals that are existing today inside the Regional Transportation Center. So JTA, I don't know if Cantrice is here this week. I know JTA worked with the Ritz Theater and with others in the community to develop the murals. Oh, now we have it. Go next. So these are the murals. This is the series of murals. So this one is Civil War veterans of. So what they did was they took historical photos, and then they created graphics from the historical photos to make them more vibrant. But you'll see a whole series of them. The next one is a Pullman Porter. So if you can. And then moving on, it is the Golden Age of Railroads, where you see the colored waiting room that is planned for implementation next to the convention center, the old train station. And then the next one is everyday working people, several images of those.
Genevieve's Hall, isn't it?
One of those is, yes. So next slide. If you get the next slide up, you'll see that's Genevieve's. Right. So the point would be, and then they have Cultural Hub is another one. If these kind, and we can go through these quickly, but if those types of graphics are acceptable to the community, then I would want to reach out to JTA and say, can you use one of these or some takeoff from this to do those skyway columns and those entry features? Because they've already produced the artwork. And I think, to me, they would be great. But again, this is not about my opinion. This is about those whose families came from there, those who live there and work there, and whether this is what you would like to see. But I thought that presented some great imagery for whether it's a crosswalk, whether it's an entry sign, whatever. So that's kind of our initial thought on the gateway portion. And then this map is a revised map of the Heritage Trail, taking into account the new Beaver Street connection that would connect the Emerald Trail segments. So what we wanted to pick up is we were a little concerned about the old route and what was missed in the old route. So this now actually comes down to Jefferson, goes past the two gingerbread houses that are on Jefferson Street, comes back down to the Elks Lodge or the former Hebrew, then Cultural Center goes up, picks up Richmond Hotel, comes all the way down so that you actually get Stanton and Clara White or the Globe Theater, comes down to Genovar's, and then back down on Beaver Street to pick up the site of the 1901 fire and the Ritz. So we think we picked up all of the sites that were previously identified, but just in a route that allows you to actually go past all of them. And then the next step of this would be if there are other sites that we need to capture or however we finalize the route, then we start looking, and I need, again, the input on what you want the cultural signage to include. So if you go back and you look at what they did at the Regional Transportation Center, there were storyboards mm-hmm. that accompanied the various images, and the storyboards, they show examples of historical photos and historical content. That's what I would be envisioning would go at these various sites. But you need to direct us who you want us to work with in the development of the actual content on those. So that would be something we'd be willing to start working on and use those resources that we set aside this week and that would be coming through council in April. I mean, we can start this year. We don't have to wait till next year.
Well, that would be great because we have, over the years, I know that we've worked with Joel McEachin, and there's also a heritage trail that we have with information. I see a couple buildings that may need to be included on it, but we've also worked with Enos Davis, which I'm sure mm-hmm. you're aware of, and he is the guru between him and Joel. I think he dives a little bit deeper into the African-American history and the plantations that were there. I would love to see those markers or demarcations here. So when we're selling La Villa, you know, through the chamber or whatever, through the cultural council, that those buildings and those markers are there. And I think it represents to most of the people who were probably in the early stages of the study, and now you have new generations of families who have some concerns. So this list could be a little bit bigger.
Okay.
I got to tell you, I love the pictures much better than what I saw at the library. I think I mentioned that to you.
Well, and this is, and I did not include, but if you saw our full deck of the banner graphics, they were very much like this that we were suggesting. So
I didn't see those there.
No, I know. You did.
Okay,
you did
but I'm excited about this because it definitely depicts La Villa what it was when it was its own township.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I just want to make sure that history isn't erased away. You know, like Brooklyn, I went to school. I mean, I went to church at Mount Calvary Baptist Church. And I know there was one little house, I think it might still be there, that you don't know what was really there. And I really don't want this to happen to La Villa, even though we
We only have a few buildings left, but I think we can tell the story.
I think you can.
I agree. Ms. Pittman, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. So do we want to put together a historic committee to be able to help us formulate this here?
Right. Because now you and I don't have time to do. We actually need, you know, a staff person or a committee to work with us, or a person that is funded.
So we could
help us put everything together.
If you want to suggest names of people you would like, I mean, we can create the committee.
Okay.
Of people that you want us to invite, right?
We'll give you the
you
names.
Tell us.
That's
you
fine.
Tell us who mm-hmm. should be on it. You know, and advise us on who you want. Ennis is a perfect example, and maybe he will chair it for us. Who knows?
Okay.
But we can put together a group who will help advise and help us in the implementation and the creation of what should go on the markers and on the content.
Okay. That's what we need.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the good thing about it is that we don't have to start from scratch. A lot of the work has been done, but it has not been coordinated in an effort where we can celebrate it in the community. So I'll be happy to reach out to Enos.
Okay.
And then if you could follow up with them.
Sure.
And see if he's, and I hope he is.
Well, and I
trust
think.
Trust me, he will be.
I think he will be. And I haven't spoken to Mari at DuPont about this. She's working with us on a number of other initiatives. Mm-hmm. But I know she's been very involved in helping to fundraise for the parks that are also part of this. I mean, those are cultural destinations here, mm-hmm. whether it's Lift Every Voice and Sing Park, you know, the mm-hmm. Johnson Brothers Homestead. Those are significant places, too. But I was taking more privately owned or individual buildings and trying to make sure we got to those that are still standing, not just the park spaces that are
sure.
new that we created.
Sure. Well, I think we got it. I think this is very inclusive of the total La Villa area, other than I think there's maybe a couple more buildings. And after we add those, but in terms of the outline on Beaver Street, I mean, those structures are there. So.
And then I have more good news.
Okay. I like good news.
Well, you gave us work to do. So we did reach out to the Historic Preservation Section and have had conversations with them about creating a La Villa.
Local, state.
Pardon
local,
me?
Local.
Local,
okay.
Jacksonville
mm-hmm.
Planning Department,
mm-hmm.
About creating a local historic district for a portion of La Villa.
Okay.
So Sondra Fetner, who we have under contract and works with us, was the attorney for the Historic Preservation Commission for a number of years. So she has a lot of experience in this. I know that when they did the downtown central business district, historic district, mm-hmm. national historic district, that was a contract with, I think it was Environmental Services, was the actual company that did it. So we've also set aside professional service dollars
okay.
to engage a firm to prepare the application for the National Historic District and do the research. And the planning department is going to work with us on developing that information. Now, Sondra said to be sure to not set your expectations too high and create disappointment, because they do require a certain percentage of structures in existence to qualify.
Mm-hmm.
So we can have locally designated landmarks and locally designated sites that are far removed from each other.
Mm-hmm.
But if we want a National Historic District, we've got to have a concentration. So it
right.
may be that we only get a 2 or 3 square block district.
Right.
But we will figure out
what that is,
what we can qualify for, and we're committed to work on that and help process the application for that to the extent we can get an area to qualify.
Right.
So,
yeah. mm-hmm. and I think, again, you know, I feel like we have enough, at least the infills where they were, that we can recognize and put those markers there, like from from Clay all the way to Davis Street, even. Even the first African-American licensed photographer, his house and studio is right across the street from Stanton House High School. But it's a vacant lot right now, but most people might not even know that. But if we put something there and designate that, that particular area all
and,
the way.
And so there, just so you think through, there are a couple different things we can do, and they have different implications, as you know. The advantage of a National Historic District is that buildings and redevelopment projects can qualify for the historic tax credit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So there's a financial reason
right.
that it helps to be a national right to be a National Historic District.
Right.
And being a National Historic District doesn't carry with it a lot of restrictions on what you do.
Right.
If you are a local historic district or you are a local landmark, then you do have restrictions about having to comply with restoration criteria and things like that. So if you're talking about things that are sites, if you want to allow that site to be redeveloped in the future for whatever purpose, because it's we've already lost the building that's on it, then I would suggest that we, on our own, identify it with a marker, but that we not necessarily restrict the development potential of it, because from a National Historic District, you're not going to get any tax credit advantage anyway because you don't have the building. So leaving it where we're providing a marker, providing a storyboard, talking about what happened there, adding it to the Heritage Trail, but not necessarily restricting what could be constructed there going forward, mm-hmm. probably is your most flexible alternative.
And I think Enos is very, in just in me having the conversation with him a couple of weeks ago, because I'd reached out and asked if he could help. I know a little bit to be dangerous, but he has it all. You know, I feel like he could do a good job for us. There's another young lady, and you may know her too, Adonica Toller.
Yeah, she's
who's
at the
done
Ritz.
Her dissertation. She's currently a contractor with us right now, and Lydia Stewart. I'm sure you know her as well.
So I know Adonica was part of the group that worked on those graphics mm-hmm. that you
okay.
saw.
Okay, so. I think we have the right team, and also we can look at those individuals that participated in the cultural trail, I guess, about 4 or 5 years ago. There's a book like, you know, Rodney Hurst, some of those that are advisories, contemporaries during that time that can help us build the story as well. So, and we could probably look at probably two things, an advisory committee that will work the plan, and then maybe we have some community input as well, because a lot of people may not want to attend all the meetings, but they may have, you know, recommendations for us as we go forward.
And let me just echo, thank you so much, because it seems as though since the last time we met, you have done a lot of mm-hmm. homework within mm-hmm. a couple of weeks, and so I'm very pleased with that. I think we're heading in that right direction. Ms. Pippen, when we left, there are so many individuals who want to be involved. Mm-hmm. Felt like for whatever reason they got left out the first process. And so I think you're right. We can't do it, but we put that particular committee
in
place.
And you know what, I'll be honest. I think timing was an issue because we really didn't know what Louisville wanted to be when it grew up. You know, there were so many different ideas and you know, you start and stop, and we didn't really get any traction until there was a real strategic plan and now implementation plan. And I think we can all kind of wrap our arms around it to make sure that everyone is represented in that plan. And it doesn't matter if we're gone 15 to 20 years from now, we still add on to that plan, and we embrace the history of what Louisville was. And so I got to tell you, I feel a whole lot better about what I've seen this morning and where we could potentially go. And I'm all in.
Definitely hoping we are able to get the consultants that we need. And I think the National Registry is the place to go.
So from our standpoint, if you want to get us the names, you know, we can commit to you if you want to check back in a couple weeks.
Yeah, let me do that.
Both where we are from a budget standpoint, where we are from the National Historic District, and where we are from the putting together the committee. But once we have that, I mean, you know, that legislation has to go through council, but it would be out by June, and I see no problem being able to design in the meantime. I mean, get work done on the meantime.
Yeah.
So,
let me change it right quick, and thank you again. Let's talk about Marco Lounge right there, that parking, the parking problem that they had. I know that came up, and those gentlemen wanted to figure out how they can start utilizing some of that for parking. Have you been able to make any kind of progress recommendation on how we can help them?
Well, so actually I was hoping they would be here this morning, but I don't see them here this morning because I wanted to talk to them. When I went out and looked at the site, I don't know exactly where their property line is between the Elks Lodge and the Harmony Center, and then in the back, and then also between the building and the vacant lot. So part of what I was looking at was whether we could either deed to them part of the vacant lot so they had a driveway so that they could access parking behind the building. But it appears behind the building is, I'm not sure if it's the house behind that it owns it.
So I think because the two houses, the historical houses, the
Face Jefferson, right.
And the city owns the parking lot right there, but it's the little piece behind them.
Right.
And then I think Pedrica Mendez, her house is right.
On the other side?
The other side. And then the city owns the other lots. And then, of course, you have VOA, which is right in front of, you know, they have been using their lots after hours. And then there's a prosthetic manufacturing company that's there. So they've been using there. But I think that lot would probably be most beneficial and have better access. In the back, I know there are trees. I mean, we'd probably have to clear that.
Right. But what I was trying to avoid is the fact that where the grass area right now is not an approved parking lot. And so I did not want to create a problem that caused them to not, or anyone, to be able to use it. I do think one of the first steps is I see no reason we couldn't implement a two-hour parking on the street or, you know, restrict the parking on the street so that it isn't used all day by workers, so that it's available for their events and then, like, which are mostly nights and weekends, and then that could only apply on weekdays, which would leave them flexibility on weekdays to have access to parking spaces, which they don't have right now. But what I was trying to get them is a screened off-street location that would comply with the current code. And so that's what I was looking at, how we might be able to get them an actual driveway to an off-street location that's screened behind the building, if there's enough room there. And I didn't know. I mean, it's, to your point, it's not not desirable right now, and it's not a large area, but it would be always available.
At least five. Well, let me ask you this question. You were talking, like, maybe the back of their property. Because I do know that there are some folks that park in that city lot, but then I don't know how wide that building, the back of the building is, that could be
right.
Utilized.
That's what I was looking
off
see
the street. Yeah,
right. And certainly in the interim, there are a couple other locations in the back. So I've done some work on it.
Okay.
I can come to you in 2 weeks with a recommendation, but what I really want to do is talk to them first.
Yeah.
And I needed to get this kind of as-built survey of where their building is versus where the lot lines are to know who owns what there.
Yeah.
But I did go out and look at it specifically and was trying to identify if there was a way to get them, you know, a certain number of spaces that were kind of guaranteed for when they were there working.
Mm-hmm.
And then – spaces for event parking that are separate.
Because I do know that they have, especially in the summertime, they have a youth program that's there. The bus drops them off, but it's off. But the instructors that are there, they need parking. And if city employees or the courthouse employees get there before they do, they won't have a parking, unless you have a specific designated 2 or 3 spots that says for that organization only.
But that's what we're trying to accomplish. Yeah.
That would be the only way, because it's tight around there.
And thanks for working on that. So we'll wait to hear from you with that also. In the meantime, what I would do is I would text you or email you some names that may work.
Yeah, why don't we work through our ECAs?
Yeah, that's fine.
And then I will reach out to Enos, and maybe he has some names as well. I think to start out, we probably don't need no more than probably 8 to 10 people, if that many. And I would rather him drive the bus on this to kind of tell us what we need.
I totally agree.
And then we can have another community meeting like we had before to kind of let the community know this is what we've done since our last meeting, and then maybe show them what you showed us, or even more updates as well. Okay.
All right. All right. Thank you. All right. So I don't know if we have any
public comments.
All right. So if you do, I don't know if we have those cards, but if not, just, I don't know, who wants
to. Do we have any cards? Do we have any
blue cards? Speak first.
Good morning. I'm Aisha Covington, and of course, I don't have a card to tell you what my address is. Nice to see you. First, I want to say good start to acknowledge the history of La Villa. I see some good points. I know Enos is very good at the history of this African-American community, so kudos to you guys on that. I would like to see housing. We lived in La Villa. My daddy owned a business on Ashley Street. My daddy's 86. He reminded me he owned a nightclub. I would like to see small businesses, a focused area that represents our lifestyle that we lived. There's a lot of homeless people that love that area. I would like to see us provide tiny housing, the shotgun house. I love the shotgun house. They are rehabbed now. I would like to see us replicate an area that would support what the Gullah Geechee did in Brooklyn. I heard Councilman Pittman reference Mount Calvary. Support our lifestyle so that people not only get to read a marker or to acknowledge it, but get to see it in existence. So if we could take tiny houses or the concept of shotgun houses, because you only need half the lot size, and put businesses there, cute little area with flowers, and we used to do gardening, to see how we really lived, the candy stores, where we sold honey drippers, and we had cookies, penny cookies, so that when people come to La Villa, they get a real feel for us as African-Americans. And I think that would help break the barrier in this city with racism, and also it will be affordable, very affordable for small businesses, for owner-operated. I see a lot of multi-housing complexes. I'm not against it, except the original La Villa had small family, generational families that lived in those houses, and that does not represent that today. I would like to see that come back. We can't change the past, but we can protect our future, and knowledge is power. We've all learned that rolling over the community, we're just pushing people out, and we have to make a plan to house those people again. So I would like to see that. I want to thank you for putting a focus on La Villa and for preserving what's there. Even when we talked about the photographer, I would like to see it replicated. I'd like to go in there and see some small black business owners. Maybe we divide up the space and support other photographers who are coming into that field. we have to encourage black business owners now. My dad owned a business. All his friends own businesses. We always talk in our generation about the side gigs. So give us a space where we can run our gigs. We can have our office space. We can have the computers. Don't forget about us. So thank you.
Okay, and thank you, Ms. Oliver.
Yes, my name is Colonel Oliver. One of the things that I feel like you can incorporate, I'm more of a fast-track kind of person. With Sac Seafood, there's a large piece of land where you can kind of, like, create that vibe, that energy within the La Villa district. Also, as you take the concept going up Broad Street, if you can build back the life of, if you can not just, my mind's racing real fast because I'm trying to, I can see this vision. And the vision entails bringing those buildings back to life along Broad Street that have been vacated for so long, not just by them being empty shells, but having them have the ability of having black-owned businesses in them. And they lead up to Sac Seafood, turning into maybe a mixed-use piece of property where you have certain spaces inside that building where you have a nightclub, small little candy shops, things that she spoke of. I think that this would be a perfect timing to move something like this up on the time frame of the La Villa district up and try to push this plan down fast and coordinating and a better focused coordination with our state representatives with getting appropriation dollars within that area. I know that you're trying to bring back life to the Staten building. But I think that that would be, in a sense, maybe a combination of a civil rights hall. I know Ritz has their components of our history. But I think that there could be some kind of emphasis in that building that can provide some office space, some small shops and for black-owned businesses in it. Or whatever else it may take, but I yield the rest of my time. Thoughts are just.
And thank you for that. And that was the purpose of us getting this committee together, so y'all can, these ideas that y'all have, y'all can bring that back to us. We can incorporate that moving forward.
Scott with the African American Economic Recovery Think Tank. My father used to work at the terminal. I live not that far from the terminal. As a child, I used to walk up and down because we used to have the commissary. So my father used to have me come over, my other siblings, it was about 14 of us, to come to the commissary. But as a child, I used to walk over there and meet my father when he left work. There's a lot of history over there. He didn't mention anything about the military, the African-American military. I mean, a lot of African-American died in the war. Every wall. Now, I'm a Gullah Geechee, too. I'm a member of the National Forest Service with the Gullah Geechee. And we are now addressing a lot of issues when we talk about the African-American community that we have done in Jacksonville that we are not covering when it comes to La Villa, Brooklyn, downtown area. My main point here is that I'm a little disappointed that the community engagement component is last. Y'all doing the same thing y'all always do. Nothing changes. The reason why Jacksonville is the way it is today, because of leadership. And people get leadership get a little upset when I say that, but I know what I'm saying. I'm a subject matter expert. I have close to 50,000 people that follow my company. I'm talking about nationwide. So I'm not here just as a citizen. I'm here as a business owner, too. I used to run all these bases, all the way to King Bay. I don't have three companies. I used to work at Daylight on Broad Street in La Villa. As a child, 13 years old, I had my first company. The reason why I'm bringing all this up, because you're going by it the wrong way. Now, I'm not talking about Ms. Boyer here, because I've been working with her, and she's very open, good or bad. And that's what I respect about her. But the point I want to make, that we do everything from the top down. Why are we not having community leadership meetings? I'm sorry, community meetings first, and get the input from them. Now, I know y'all have done some meetings, but there's a lot of things that we can do that has nothing to do with money. I'm talking about the cultural part of it, about La Villa. And Miss Pittman, I have been, the whole time I've been talking, you've been looking down.
No, I'm looking at what
I'm saying here.
I'm listening. That's
my point here. My point, because I'm not going to talk about nobody today. I'm just here to talk about Brooklyn, La Villa, downtown. There's a lot of things we can do. Now, when you talk about history, I have all that data on history, African-American history, Jacksonville history, and this country. The point that I want to make clear that we need to start from the bottom. In closing, Stanton should be the focus point for La Villa. Now, I'm dealing with Stanton over there because they're so busy talking about making a room for lawyers to use that building. Yes, which I have a problem with that. But I'm a close right now, and I will put everything that I need to talk about in writing. In closing, y'all are doing a good job. But I am disappointed that you're doing it from the top down instead of bottom up. Thank you.
Lesson learned, and thank you. Thank y'all. Anything else?
No, I think, as you know, we have our marching orders, and we'll get back, and then we'll do all the things.
When in the next meeting?
We'll post it. Yeah. We hadn't said yet when, but we'll post it within the next couple of weeks. Well, we'll, Batman and Robin, thank y'all so much for coming. Thank you, Ms. Kelly, Ms. Boyer. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you.